A few minutes before 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, former President Donald Trump dropped a proposal that in any other presidential administration would have been a major policy plan that got a huge rollout. Seniors should not pay tax on Social Security. That's what Trump tweeted, or rather posted on his Truth Social account in all caps. Seniors should not pay tax on Social Security. But what was significant about this announcement, I think, is really what wasn't included in it rather than what was. I'll explain. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. This proposal from Trump, this one just dropped at 10 a.m. this past Wednesday, would be obviously a hugely expensive policy change. According to one quick estimate by a former White House chief economist, dropping the requirement that taxes are paid on Social Security income would reduce federal revenue by about $1.5 trillion over 10 years, and it would add $1.8 trillion to the national debt, the extra cost there being because there would be interest on the extra borrowing that would be required if that revenue went away. This plan would also accelerate Social Security's slide into insolvency, and obviously, it should go without saying, but this would be a huge tax break for Americans who collect Social Security checks, for older Americans, for retired Americans. It's not a tax break that would be particularly good at fostering economic growth, and it would be a narrowly targeted one rather than, the sort of broad-based tax breaks and tax cuts that Republicans have typically supported in the past. Now, despite all of that, the policy machinations here aside, I think the most notable thing about the way this announcement was made was, as I said, what it didn't include. There was no attempt, obviously, to reckon with these figures. There were no surrogates that were dispatched to cable news to explain why this would be a good or necessary proposal. No press releases. There was, of course, no attempt to explain what government programs would be cut to offset that drop in revenue. For that matter, there had been no sense that this idea had been percolating within Republican politics before Trump dropped this proposal on Wednesday. It wasn't mentioned at the Republican National Convention. It didn't come up at all in Trump's speech, and it wasn't included in the party's platform. So like so much else in the Trump era, this looks like an idea that went from the former president's head to his social media account with very few stops in between and probably not a lot of thought put into it. Now, there is something to be said for that degree of, I don't know, let's call it transparency. If nothing else, this is quintessentially Trumpian, right? Hastily conceived, maybe not necessarily deeply considered policies, things that are really more marketing slogans than substance. And ultimately, let's just call this what it is, a nakedly political play to win the votes of Social Security collecting Americans. That's what's going on here. Still, I think the more interesting thing here politically is to contrast this with what happened just a day before, when the Trump campaign officially and gleefully sunk the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. That was a 900-page document in which Heritage, the preeminent conservative think tank, had outlined an extensive plan for policies that Trump could pursue in a prospective second term. That project had been headed by a former Trump administration official, Paul Danz, and it was pretty central to everything that Heritage had been doing in the past few years as it had executed a kind of institutional-wide pivot towards populism and towards Trumpism, led prominently by the organization's president, Kevin Roberts. In a statement about Project 2025, two of Trump's top campaign officials didn't merely bury the whole project, but they also issued a threat. They said that this should serve notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well for you. That was a joint statement from Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita at the Trump campaign. The obvious translation there, how dare anyone try to substitute actual policy substance for whatever random thought might pop out of the former president's head on a Wednesday morning. That's the way Trump governs. That's just the way it's been for a while. We're kind of used to it, and there maybe even is some positive to it, but it's just not, there's not going to be much substance there. Meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, Vice President Kamala Harris has launched her campaign by veering hard into what you might call a Trump-like policy nihilism of her own. She's already tried to memory hole her track record as the Biden administration's so-called border czar, and she's had a lot of help from the media in doing that. That's a job that she obviously held, but is now refusing to admit she ever did. And she's also trying to rewrite her positions on a bunch of other stuff, too. For example, Harris was a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal when she was a member of the Senate in 2019, and she voiced her support for that progressive environmental package while campaigning for president that same year, a campaign that obviously didn't go very well for her. Now she's backing away from that. This week, a spokesman for the Harris campaign told the Washington Examiner that Harris no longer supports the federal jobs guarantee, basically a promise that the federal government would provide family-sustaining jobs to anyone who wanted them. That had been a key feature of the Green New Deal. Harris now doesn't support that. Meanwhile, the Examiner points out that Harris has also backed away from her endorsement of eliminating private health care plans and supporting Medicare for all. She's backed off of that. Her campaign has also recently told The Hill that she will not seek to ban fracking if she is elected, but that stands in direct contrast to comments she made a few years ago while running for president when she said to CNN, quote, "There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking." There now seems to be quite a bit of a question about that. Maybe all of this is Harris embracing her own philosophy of being unburdened by what has been. Maybe she's simply taking a page from Trump's book. I mean, after all, the former president has never paid much of a price for just making it up as he goes along, and she now seems to be doing the same thing. For both Trump and Harris, I think simply telling voters what they think they want to hear is possibly the most direct route to winning an election, but that cynical approach to campaigning sidelines any serious discussion of policy, and it means that the election is likely to be decided on far stupider grounds. We're going to have to put up with a lot of talk about things that really don't matter because neither campaign seems to have much interest in talking about the things that do. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. You can check out more of our coverage of the two dueling presidential campaigns at Reason.com and catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.